All right, thanks. Thanks for having me out tonight and letting me get in on some of that free food, which is always a blessing. So I want to share a little bit about CDC. Usually my favorite way to share about that is that we have a big whiteboard behind me, and I put the word poverty in the middle, and then we all talk about what causes poverty and what keeps people in poverty. And we don't have the ability to do that tonight, but I want you to just kind of make a mental picture of that. If you got to close your eyes, do that. And I'm going to just shoot through a really quick list, not comprehensive, but just quick. Some of those issues that cause poverty and keep people in poverty are unemployment, education, housing, transportation, healthcare, criminal justice systems, criminal background systems, access to goods and amenities, natural disasters, economic disasters, racism, abuse, substance abuse, abuse of all kind, whether that's physical, emotional, verbal, and myriad of different substance abuse issues. Family dynamics are also one thing that can keep people in poverty and cause poverty. Friction within families. Nutrition, believe it or not, does too. If you look at the research that's out there on how nutrition affects brain development, both mentally and cognitive function, but also social development. And there's more. That's just really, really quick, okay? Usually we take several minutes to do that, and there's this whole big mess that's around the word poverty, and it's always really overwhelming. And that's where CDC comes in. And to just give a little bit of context of what I'm talking about when I talk about CDC, which stands for Central Detroit Christian Community Development Corporation, not Center for Disease Control, okay? So we don't mess with any of that. We focus on two zip codes, the 48202 and the 48206. If you're familiar with Detroit, that's roughly the top part of New Center to the bottom part of Highland Park, from Linwood Street to I-75. And our neighborhood is some of the poorest of the poor. They're some of the two poorest zip codes in the entire country. Our median income is $21,000 per family. We have less than 30% home ownership, less than 30% car ownership, over 50% unemployment. Less than 10% of our third graders are at a third grade reading level. 60% of our kindergartners are behind by the time they get to kindergarten. We have high rates of crime, substance abuse, and physical and domestic abuse are huge issues in our community. We have limited access to public transportation. In fact, not just public transportation, but school transportation. Most of the kids in our neighborhood will walk a mile or mile and a half to their bus stop as 7 and 8 and 9 year olds. Since it's at the end of winter, we can celebrate that because winter is usually a particularly hard time for our family. They're living in homes that were built in the 1920s, 19-teens. Which means very poor insulation. So usually families in our community will gather for the winter in one room in the house, and that's the room that they will work to heat, and their heating bill will still be $800 to $900 a month. Roads typically don't get plowed unless there's over 3 inches of snow, and even at that rate, it's usually just in one direction. So you kind of got to play chicken with whoever's coming the other way. So that's our neighborhood. That's who we're there to serve. CDC's vision is to be an agent of change to create a community of choice. We want to give people options. We want to give them hope. We want to give them joy. We want to give them a possibility of a life change. And so to do that, we focus on four E's, okay? The first is educate. We originally started 23 years ago as youth programming and workforce readiness. This was to get teens a safe place to come, a safe environment to be, and then to prepare them for either the workforce or for college. And so we've really maintained that vein of education and a safe environment throughout the last two decades. So we have education programming Monday through Saturday. We have a one-on-one literacy-based tutoring program on Monday and Wednesday afternoons in partnership with SOAR Detroit. We have our own Breakthrough Enrichment program on Tuesday and Thursday nights. We have a high school teen ministry on Friday evenings, and we have ABC's In the D tutoring on Saturdays. And we'll get into all of the details of what all of those things do, but I will tell you one thing. All of our programs, educational programs, have two things in them. One is they have transportation. With less than 30% car ownership, if we want to serve kids, we got to get them. We got to go and pick them up. So we have a bus route that we get to go and pick up our kids. The other thing that we have at all of our programs is food. Most of our kids don't eat on the weekends because there's not enough food in the home. And a lot of them will not have eaten since maybe 10:30 or 11 o'clock that day from when they were at school. If they were at school, another big issue we have is 57% of Detroit public school students are chronically absent. So we have those two things. Through all of those programs that I listed, we are serving about 500 kids a week. That's our scope in terms of education. We also do adult programming. We do hard and soft skills classes. And I won't get into all of those details for the sake of time, but we are looking to reach adults. And we also do parenting classes, and we do a preschool prep learning club. How early do you start? You start when they're two. That's where it is, because they're entering kindergarten behind. So we want to equip parents to be their child's first teacher. And then we want to help those 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds be equipped to enter preschool and kindergarten. The second E. Everybody remember the first E? Awesome. Second E is employ. With over 50% unemployment and many of our neighbors having substance abuse issues and criminal backgrounds and quite frankly, are simply unemployable because of a history. I mean, we're talking 20 and 30-year-olds who have maybe never had an actual W-2 in their life. We have found that the best way to employ our neighborhood is to start our own businesses. So we have started over 10 businesses in our community. Laundromat, produce market, security business, property management business. We just opened up a preschool this last year. We have production gardens and aquaponic system, a repurposing and restoration business, and more. Our goal with our business is to be somebody's first job, not their last job. So we want to hire them, we want to employ them, we want to give them skills and opportunities to learn and to grow, and then we want to, quite frankly, get them something that will pay better, because we're limited on what we can offer. And so we also have partnerships across the city of Detroit with different journeyman plumbing and electrical systems and programs and Prosper Us and some other organizations. And we host job fairs in our community center and all of that. So that's the second E. Everybody with me? All right, educate and employ, right? Okay, the third one is empower. This encapsulates our housing development and our housing counseling. One of the big things that affects our neighbors, if you have a median income of $21,000, your property tax is probably $2,000 to $3,000 a year. So now you have a working budget of $18,000. Your home was built in the 20s, which means your average utility bills are going to be several hundred dollars a month. And the average cost to fix a roof in Detroit is between $10,000 and $16,000. Becomes nearly impossible. And for all of you who've owned homes before, you know, if the roof is bad in a Michigan winter, it does not take much time for the rest of the house to go bad. And so our housing development and our housing counseling are vital for our community. Over the last several decades, and really primarily in the last 10 years, CDC has rehabbed over 100 homes. Some of those are single-family homes. Some are duplexes, some are multifamily, and some are apartment buildings. This past December, we just wrapped up a 41-unit apartment complex in New Center. And our goal with most of our housing, so of that 100-plus homes that we've done, we currently manage 46, which means we've been able to turn over half of them back to our community. And we're able to do that through our really incredible housing and financial wellness counselors. We have two women who do the work of about 20 people. They do a credit repair and rebuilding class, first-time homebuyer education class, tax foreclosure counseling, mortgage foreclosure counseling, income-based tax foreclosure exemption courses. They do financial wellness and financial peace classes. It's just incredible. This past year, they helped 489 people. That's individuals, so that's not including that child or children that were in that home or spouse that was in that home. So more than likely about 1,000 people, including spouses, partners, and children, become financially more stable and begin to make good choices financially. So that's what we do. Those are those three E's, right? So educate, employ, empower. Like I said, we serve over 500 people on a weekly basis, and we're able to do that because we are all really awesome at our job. No, not at all. In fact, our staff operates at less than 25 people to accomplish all of those things. So we rely heavily on faith, and then we rely heavily on volunteers. On a weekly basis, we have between 100 and 150 people volunteering with us. In the summer, that number goes up. Last summer, we had close to 750 volunteer teams join us for different construction projects and to work with our six-week day camp for our 6 to 11-year-olds. The fourth E, right? I said there were four. The fourth E is really the foundation of what we do, and that's evangelism. We talk about poverty in several different areas. We talk about poverty being a very real physical poverty, like I mentioned in those statistics. And there's more out there. And there's heartbreaking stories that if I had an hour or two, I would certainly get into, and a couple boxes of tissues that we could bring out. These are some of the poorest of the poor. When Jesus spoke in Matthew 25, when he said, "What you do to the least of these, you've done to me. This, our community, my community, is the least of these." We also talk about poverty in terms of a lack of choice. If I give each of you $1 million and put you on a deserted island, are you rich or poor? You're poor because you don't have choices. Before we opened our produce market 10 years ago, we were in a food desert, which means there was not access to fresh produce in 21 square blocks. We also talk about poverty as an emotional and a social poverty. Kids that grow up in low-income families are spoken to 60% less, and 80% of what they hear is negative. And we wonder why there's violence when they grow up. And then we talk about poverty in terms of a spiritual poverty. We believe that there's a relationship that's to be mended, that there's reconciliation, not just horizontally, but vertically. And so we want to share the gospel, and we implement biblical principles in everything that we do. All of our programs, all of our financial classes, all of our housing development, we want to do to the glory of the Lord and to share the gospel with them. So we really are meeting needs and sharing the gospel at the same time. That's CDC from about 60,000 feet up, okay? That's a really high view of what we do. Saturday, you have a chance to participate in a very small but very key way in housing development. And that's, we need to clean out and demo a house. 90% of the homes that we do, that we rehab at CDC, are complete gut renovations, where we take it down to the studs, we pull all the wiring and all the plumbing out. It's essentially, we work with the shell, and we go up. So we've got a duplex, a great duplex home that needs cleaned out, and to start some demo work in the kitchen and in the bathroom. So I can guarantee one thing, you'll have a lot of fun putting a hammer through some plaster. You will get dirty, and you will have some very tangible results at the end of the day, okay? I promise you that. It will look different than when you started, okay? So if you're a tangible results kind of person like I am, this is the work for you, all right? So we would love to have you come and hopefully catch a vision for what it would look like to partner and join CDC in our mission, not just at a work project like this, but perhaps on a more regular and consistent basis, to come down and read with a child, to come down and volunteer to help file some of our reports. We've got a space for everyone at CDC. So thank you. Thank you for letting me share, and I look forward to seeing some of you guys on Saturday.